Welcome to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Today, we finish up our biosecurity flashback series with Pipestone's Dr. Joel Neerum.
My name is Joel Neerum. I'm a veterinarian with Pipestone Veterinary Services in Pipestone, Minnesota. Swine practitioner there. Prior to that, I was in mixed practice and also worked for an integrated pork producer for a period of time.
And PIC's Dr. Andrea Pitkin.
I'm Andrea Pitkin. I'm with PIC on the health assurance veterinary team. And previous experience was in practice for about 5.5 years in southern Minnesota before joining PIC. And prior to that, I got a master's degree, which focused on biosecurity.
And Dr. Jess Waddell.
Jess Waddell, also with PIC Health Assurance, based in Nebraska, was most recently with a large producer in Nebraska and western Iowa.
It's Q&A on The Squeal.
Questions for each other, things that may have been said today in here, or just something that you're curious about that one of your other experts might have more insight into.
Dr. Neerum, how do you evaluate protocols and make sure they're current and that everyone is knowledgeable to the expectations?
So auditing of what's happening on the farm is a good way to understand whether protocols are being followed and are current. I think an annual review of your biosecurity protocols is a good practice to make sure that what we're doing is still relevant and that there hasn't been research that would say that maybe a certain practice is a waste of resources or time, etc. I think that's a good practice. Continual training, to your point, Dr. Pitkin, I think is very important because oftentimes some farms you won't have any turnover at all. In other farms, you have new staff members fairly regularly joining the team. And I think in those situations, it's really important to make sure those folks are trained. One of the things that I think is important for someone in an auditing function is not just that they're the police officer going to the farm making sure that things are happening correctly, but that person also carries some burden for the training and being the champion of biosecurity. And so one of the things that auditors do with many of the farms that I work with is that they'll not only go to the farm, perform an audit on a monthly basis, but yet they'll also sit down with the crew at break time and they'll lead a discussion with the team, often about timely topics on biosecurity. And oftentimes they give a quiz. So they'll hand out a piece of paper to everybody and there's, you know, 5 questions or 8 questions on it that they have to answer. And then it becomes kind of fun, actually. You can imagine sort of the dynamic in a break room table on a sow farm, going over a quiz that has a few trick questions on it and arguing. But all of that is a teachable moment, right? And beyond teaching, it also creates an atmosphere that biosecurity is sort of raised to the pinnacle. It's the topic we're talking about today. It's the most important thing we're going to discuss today. And I think that's important in keeping biosecurity on the forefront.
At your farms, you had biosecurity champions as a day-to-day employee. And how do you think that that's improved or helped biosecurity? Have you felt like they've caught more things or they've been able to identify risks? Or how has that improved biosecurity in the system?
Those farms where we've named sort of a biosecurity champion, or we call them an FCT, a filter compliance technician, because they were on farms that installed air filters. And so once filters were installed in some of these sow farms, we understood that there was a greater labor requirement, a greater manpower requirement in order to make sure that all of the biosecurity that had to go into place to make a farm fully filtered under a negative pressure situation required more focus. And so one individual was dedicated as the FCT, and they were responsible for going around the farm every day and making sure that there was no backdrafted air getting into the farm. It was the aerosol biosecurity that was sort of the driver of that position. But then also, they were expected to focus on all of the routes of mechanical transmission. And so they looked at all the critical access points on the farm, and they made sure all the doors were locked, and they made sure that we were following the right biosecurity in the entryway, that the floor was clean and the bench was in the right place, and all of those kinds of things. And so I do think that having a champion on the farm, if you will, is important. In the end, everybody needs to focus on biosecurity, right, as we've already said. And yeah, one of the other cliches is biosecurity is a team sport. It's not an individual sport, it's a team sport, because everybody's got to be on the same team and headed in the same direction together.
Yeah, I guess call it another cliche or hashtag or theme, but one of the things that I've been trying to promote or push when it comes to biosecurity is when you work in production, you hear all the time, what are the three things pigs need? Feed, water, and you typically hear air or a good environment. They need those things to be comfortable and successful and grow and become good pigs. Well, I'm arguing that pigs need four things. They need feed, water, air, and biosecurity. And I think it would be really neat to see biosecurity added to the end of that phrase, that I think that will help start to create a culture, because everybody knows, again, you got to give them good feed, you got to give them good water. Why don't we know that you have to give them good biosecurity too? It's like, it's kind of thought about, but it needs to be more like, yes, this is what we need to do.
I think you make a great point, and you've said it in a great way. It's almost a welfare component.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, sick pigs is not it's not good for animal welfare, right? And so biosecurity is the thing we can all do to improve pig welfare, to protect pig welfare. I think it's important to at least sort of draw that together for staff. And I think once you do, they get it, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's important. Because most of the people that work on farms today, they care about the pigs. They care about the animals. They're there because they like the farm. They like the animals, and they want to do whatever they can to protect them. And if you draw that link to the welfare of the animal, I think that's important.
Do you have a biosecurity wish list? Boy, I wish that we had a new spray that melted. You know, what is there anything out there that, you know, when you've been thinking about, boy, you know, I'll be thrilled when somebody comes out with fill in the blank.
I've always wished I had a magic wand. I just wave it over the farm and it would never get sick.
But if you're going to wish,
that's what I've always,
why not wish big?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
A bubble. Yeah.
Yeah, a bubble. That would be good. Yep.
Like the Metrodome, the old Metrodome, right? When you walked out of that building and you were like thrown out. We need bubbles like that over our farms.
I wish it was easier to see. I think that's one of the main hurdles with biosecurity.
So I'm imagining an ultraviolet flashlight where you check your hotel room bed before you get into it at night to make sure that it was. Is that what you, I mean, something like that, easier to see.
Yeah, I mean, to help visualize the risks, and that's a big hurdle with biosecurity is, I mean, you can see a sick pig when you're walking pens. You can't see a biosecurity risk typically. I mean, we conceptualize it in our heads and work hard to paint those pictures for people, but you just don't see those risks laying on the sidewalk.
Yeah, Dr. Waddell makes a great point. And one of the things I've always wished for is to better understand, after a farm does become sick, what was the breakdown? What was the breach in biosecurity that occurred? We think that we know we've got all the biosecurity and we've got everything handled, right? But farms still get sick. And so oftentimes we go and do an investigation. And sometimes these can be pretty intense investigations. We've all done those, right? But in the end, it's rare that we can say, I know exactly how the disease got in. We always find multiple biosecurity breaches. But to be able to say and prove in a court of law that I've got undeniable evidence that that's how the bug got in, except for contaminated breeding stock or semen, there's generally, it's really difficult to prove. And that's what I wish, because I think that would give us a leap forward, right, in better protecting and better understanding, is that we don't have that 20/20 hindsight, really, after a farm breaks to say, yep, it was that. We all kind of have our own little, yeah, I kind of think it was that, but those are our own pet biases oftentimes and that sort of thing. I really question a lot of times when people say they just know. I'm like, I don't know if you do. Anyway, that might not be a popular statement to some people, but I've done enough of those and been humbled enough on PRRS infections in sow farms to know that, we generally don't know. If we did, then we'd fix it and we wouldn't get another break again.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you had that crystal ball, how amazing would that teachable moment be and impactful to truly show, you know, this is where we went wrong and now we know what we need to do to fix it? Because I completely agree. And a lot of the PRRS investigations that I've done, you probably get lucky if you can narrow it down to four or five things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stealing somebody's quote. It's usually you walk in and you're looking for the smoking gun. Well, we find 10 of them.
Yeah, there's guns laying all over the place.
Exactly.
You know, the closest thing that we had was during PED, when in some of those breaks, we were able to go to the feed bin and find the actual virus in the feed that the pigs were eating when they became sick. And even then, it's like, you could have people that could contest it, right? But work was done further to show that it would transmit in the feed, et cetera. But that was about the closest, you know, other than getting semen from an infected boar stud, right? I mean, it's pretty hard.
Dr. Pickin, on the away from the crystal ball piece or the wish list, what is realistic on the horizon for biosecurity innovations?
Great question. I think if it was going to make a realistic list, it would be monitoring techniques that didn't break the bank. And I'm thinking of things like Dr. Nurum and the Pipestone system implemented a protocol where you were swabbing everybody that came into the barn. And I think that's great conceptually, but as you could probably attest, how many samples, how much money do you have to go through until you find that positive? And then does that positive turn into a transmission event?
It's really cheap until you have to test the samples.
Yeah.
Because Q-tips aren't that expensive.
No.
But when you start running PRRS PCRs, that adds up pretty fast. Yep.
So, you know, I've been, you know, trying to conceptualize, you know, is there a, how can we come up with a monitoring system or some type of an alert system? When the air sampler machines came out, I always envisioned, could you mount those on a pole connected to a PCR machine and you could be taking like real-time air samples and understanding, is it a high-risk day or is it a low-risk day? Well, that's not really going to do you any good unless you're filtered. And, you know, so it's things like that that, you know, should we be swabbing trailers when they back up to the farm? You know, it would help us to know which gun is smoking the most if we had samples at certain points to help understand.
What do you guys think is the single most important biosecurity, we'll call it intervention, or factor? Like if you could do one thing to a farm, and only one, what would it be?
Culture. I mean, it's we can't reliably bank on one thing. It's the whole ball of wax, and getting everyone to pull on the same rope would be the one thing that everybody's looking at those critical control points. I think you can narrow it down to people, supplies, mortality, and pig movements. as big buckets.
Mm-hmm. The clean, nerdy line. You know, I try to talk to the farms about, you know, what's your favorite sports team? So I'm Minnesota Gopher, right? And we're maroon and gold. And that one's easy for me. The farm is gold. It's pristine. It's clean. And everything out there else that touches the perimeter of that gold is the maroon. That's the dirty. And we don't want to turn our gold a murky brown. We want to keep very clear gold, and we want to keep very clear maroon. So I think stressing that clean, dirty line is one of the most important things that we can do, and it becomes a little bit more complicated than that, but that's the base of it, and totally agree with Dr. Waddell. The culture drives respecting that clean, dirty line.
Our thanks to Dr. Joel Neerham of Pipestone Veterinary Clinic, along with PIC's Drs. Jess Waddell and Andrea Pitkin. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're a longtime listener, take a second to subscribe to The Squeal. It's the easiest way to stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes. Just search for The Squeal wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're already a subscriber, visit your phone settings and turn notifications on so you never miss an episode. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.